Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. Invasion from the south, in this case, which would be north,
Vermont, New York, Maine, Montana, those states. So that's an important part of Canadian history, and we really should learn more about our Canadians from North. And of course, I'm biased because I had French Canadian teachers in the boarding school I was at. And then talking about the Civil War in 1862, the ironclad Monitor sank off of Cape Hatteras. Now they've recently raised it, and I think they've got the Merrimack also. And there is a rare movie which we came across in our archives about the building of the Monitor. And this dates from the 1930s, early 30s film, and they'll probably put some clips from that film up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And incidentally, we will be offering you survival techniques and tips that I used to put together for the Haight-Ashbury switchboard when I was a volunteer there during the 60s and 70s. And these will cover everything from little secrets about the post office, how to make sure that letter gets there absolutely positively on time, how to save costs when you have to ensure that a letter, you need a track without paying those high tracking fees for priority mail, and how to make sure that when you deposit a letter in the corner mailbox, that it's not sitting here all weekend. People don't pay attention to the schedules, and we'll tell you how that works. And a few other tricks that I learned when I worked in the federal courthouse in communications and a few other areas. This was when I was going to school back in the 60s. And then Ellis Island opened in 1896, and a lot of Americans, especially from Eastern Europe, came through there, and a lot of the Russian Jews escaping the pogroms, the Polish Jews, their names were anglicized, so you have people whose names were probably Gershowitz became Gershwin or Garrett, but the people who are of Jewish ethnicity today, if they can trace their ancestry back to their ancestors who came to Ellis Island, they probably had a different spelling, and, of course, a lot of the new immigrants, real immigrants, people came here to learn, to contribute, and not to corrupt this country, although we had some of those and we still do today, accepted the anglicization of their names so that they could fit in. They could be real Americans. So that's how some of these names of people who are even practicing Judaism today have these Anglo-Saxon names that their ancestors that came to Ellis Island or some of the other ports like Boston, the American immigration authorities anglicized their name. Also today, in 1907, since this is New Year's Eve, the first ball dropped in Times Square. And then in 1911, this is a very important for women scientists, one of the greatest women scientists of all time, Marie Curie, Polish ethnicity, she got her second Nobel Prize, one in chemistry and one in physics. She died cancer from handling all that. She discovered radium. And her husband was Pierre Curie. There was a famous 1940s film with Greer Garson, who played Marie Curie, and Walter Pigeon, who was also born in Quebec. And he emigrated to the United States and became a United States citizen. He's dead now. Both of them are dead. Great actors. And then today, also, we had radio history, the first transatlantic live broadcast across the Atlantic. And, of course, in Britain, famous BBC used the Big Ben chime as their theme, as their ID. And in 1958, I remember I was in school. We thought that Fidel Castro was this great liberator. Boy, are we naive. Fulgencio Batista fled Cuba, and, of course, he took a lot of the loot, Cuban money, to his Swiss bank accounts. And then, of course, we had the Cubans who fled to the United States, and even some who came in the Mariel boat lift. We have, like, the new senator from Florida, Mario Rubio. His parents were, he was born here, but his parents were from Cuba. And we have several others. We have the New Jersey senator, although he's a left-wing Democrat. He's from Cuba, and several others. And we also have a whole variety of people who have come here to contribute. We don't always agree with their politics, but at least they try to become good Americans. Then in 1961, that was the last year that the Marshall Plan contributed to rebuilding Europe, and over $12 billion American taxpayer dollars was spent to build a bulwark in Europe to prevent Stalin and all of the commies from taking over. Then in 1970, those of you who remember the Chilean revolution, if you want to call it that, when Allende nationalized the coal mines, and of course we've seen a couple of months ago that those miners who were trapped down there for several weeks, and this is one of the problems with the Chilean mining system and mines, a lot of abuse, a lot of worker workplace violations. There's a famous movie, we'll show some of the clips, which we came to our archives. We're auditing our archives, and hopefully we'll be able to use a lot of interesting stuff to tweak your interest. And then the Panama Canal today, unfortunately, was given back to Panama, the strip there, and a big mistake because now the Chinese control it. And although the history of the Panama Canal, this is one of Teddy Roosevelt's bad deals. The French had a disastrous expedition trying to build it with Ferdinand de Sleps, the guy who successfully built the Suez Canal. They had so many problems tried to dig it in the wrong place. And one of the reasons that the canal is there, was done there, was because American imperialism wanted to separate Panama from Colombia. And the canal should have been built in another spot, but which would have been more feasible and cost us less money. But it's still a tribute to American genius and medicine, because there was General Walter Reed, after whom Walter Reed Hospital is named after, I think Goethals is the other guy's name. They had to deal, first of all, with the environment and to stop the yellow fever, which came from mosquitoes. And so they dealt with the mosquito problem first so the workers wouldn't get infected, so they could continue the work and get the project finished. Let's see, what else is today? We have some interesting deaths. Commodius, who was the son of Marcus Aurelius, it was a great movie with Alec Guinness, Stephen, not Collins, I forgot the last name, Sophia Loren, I think Jose Ferrer, and it's called The Fall of the Roman Empire, and it's a great movie. Samuel Bronstein did these great spectacles like El Cid, it's a very accurate portrait of what happened, why the Roman Empire reached its peak with Marcus Aurelius, and he was poisoned, and then his son, Commodius, became emperor, and he was assassinated. And then great, since we're on the movie topics, two great movie producer directors died today. Raoul Walsh, one of his greatest films was with Humphrey Bogart called High Sierra, great crime film. And then he had Sam Spiegel, who was also producer-director, a lot of great films he produced. And then the guy who put IBM on the market, on the map, was Thomas Watson. He died today. And then we had, on the other events, we had one of the things that the British are known for was their economic imperialism, or rampant mercantilism. In 1600, the British East India Company was set up, and that was the forerunner of these global corporations that are, owe allegiance to nobody, and not even to their stockholders, so just the people that control it. And there's a great movie called Clive of India, and it's another 30s movie, history according to Hollywood, and it's fairly accurate. I would recommend that. You'll understand why the British had all these problems in what is known as the subcontinent. And then one of the reasons we had the problems in South Africa, a lot of people thought it was just Dutch or the Afrikaans. There were also the French Protestants, the Huguenots, and in 1687, because of all the trouble the French Protestants were having in Catholic France, they departed for what was known as the Cape of Good Hope, and you see some of those French names today down in South Africa, and they're Protestant, they're Huguenots, and of course they supported apartheid, and they lived quite well on it. Now this is interesting also because it deals with economic issues today. In 1776, Rhode Island, Little Rhodey, was the first state to establish price and wage controls. It was, for a tailor, it was 78 cents a day, no, 42 cents, excuse me, and for a day laborer, it was 78 cents a day. So that's where price and wage controls started back about the time of the American Revolution. And then we had northern states in 1783 ban importation of African slaves. And Alabama, which was a slave state in 1841, was the first state to license dentists. Can you believe that? they did other things. They pulled your teeth to torture people, the Ku Klux Klan and that crowd. And then also we had, other birthdays today. Bonnie Prince Charlie, I recommend, he's responsible for a lot of the Scotch, the battles. He was Catholic, and he fought he had a claim to the British throne, and it ended up, he won every battle but the last battle. That's where that phrase comes from. It's important. You can lose all the battles in front, but the last battle is the one that really counts, and he lost to gross incompetence. He didn't listen to his military expert, Lord Murray, at the Battle of Culloden, and the British, under George II, was king, German king, and his son, William, one of his sons, was the general in the field, lost every battle but won the last one. And they did horrible things to the Scotch, the Jacobites, as they were called. They treated them horribly, stripped them, threw them in cold cells, and transported them in chains and in horrible conditions to Bermuda, Bahamas, and into our southern, the southern regions where we have the Scotch-Irish names even today. And, of course, the Martins and McCoys, all that intermarriage. But a lot of the Scotch-Irish, and I think we have some in our family, in America, have descended from the Scotch who were defeated at the Battle of Culloden and who were transported brutally by the British. And then William, after he won the Battle of Culloden and kicked the Roman Catholics out of the British Isles, were no longer a military threat. The British, the English named the flower called Sweet William. That's where that flower comes from, named after William, the general in the field who defeated Bonnie Prince Charlie. And the Scotch have a name for a weed called Stinking Willie. So that's where you get that. And then the great general who lost at Yorktown, Lord Cornwallis, he was born today. And after he was defeated and surrendered at Yorktown in 1789, he went to India. And, of course, that again, we get back to the British East India Company, which acted like some, well, that's where a lot of these multinationals, where they have their private armies and all that, it's where they got some of their ideas, because it goes back to that century and a lot of the financial manipulation. And then the great composer, those of you who remember the Boston Pops and Arthur Fiedler, well, his father, Max Fiedler, was born today, German-Jewish family. I don't know if they practice. And then Pola Negri was supposed to be the woman who was in love with Valentino, Rudolph Valentino, who was reportedly gay. They suspect that she was the woman who used to show up in black and have a veiled face and put the flowers on his grave. Was, you know, that speculation. We really don't know who that woman was. But Pola Negri was one of those flames of the silent screen back in the 20s. And then Jason Robarts was born today. He was the last husband of Lauren Bacall or Betty Bensky, another Russian-Jewish family. And then a great violinist, Nathan Milstein, was born today. Julie Stein, who wrote the song MAME, and then Everything's Coming Up Roses, and then Happy Times Here Again. But anyway, great Broadway show composer. And then we had Simon Wiesenthal, who was in the concentration camps and who survived and set up this international investigation to track down all the Nazis who had done these horrible things to Jews and other people in the concentration camps. And the Wiesenthal Center, I think, is operating out of Los Angeles. And then we have Ben Kingsley, who is Anglo-Indian. These are Anglo-Indian are descendants of the English who came to India with British East India Company and that whole crowd, and left 348 years later in 1948. And there were a lot of British who Englishmen who married Indian women, good-looking women. And in fact, Sir Edward Elgar's wife Roberts was the daughter of Lord Roberts, who was Anglo-Indian, and then also Boris Karloff was also Anglo-Indian. It's quite a mix. And there was a famous film, I think, with not Susan Hayward, but Ava Gardner, called The Reigns of Ranjitpur, and they get into that Anglo-Indian caste system in India during the time of the Raj, as it's called. And Jewel in the Crown is a great PBS series on the caste system and that whole culture and history of the British and the Anglo-Indians and how the relationships existed during that time in India when the British ran things and tried to destroy people like Gandhi. And then the great, this is the porno actor who worked with Andy Warhol. Joe Little Sandra was born today. And then we have Taylor Hackford, great actor. I think he's the husband of that great blonde. She doesn't have any kids. She played in the series Prime Suspect. Great English woman. One of her parents was Russian. And then this is the guy the FBI, I guess, is still looking for, Charles David Marks, who was with the FLAN. And he was born in all places of Buenos Aires. To end this year, I finally got this together. The great George Christopher, he gives us advice to, this is his valedictory, and this was advice that he gives to people who want to be good citizens, good public officials. And he was the greatest modern mayor of San Francisco and in California and probably in the United States in our time. So here we go.
What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember you for?
Well, I don't even give that any thought. I'll be remembered for whatever, if I'm remembered at all.
You will be. We'll make sure of that.
I don't know if I'll be remembered, but I just feel that...
Hello, everyone. This pre-recording is here again to remind you and give you a recap of the year 2010 and put it on the radio, Blog Talk Radio. This year, 2010, has been magnificent as far as radio shows are concerned. We are currently coming to you now three times a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. The shows are nicknamed Tuesday Afternoon Madness, Wednesday Extra, and Friday Night Madness. Tuesday Afternoon and Wednesday Extra, Tuesday Afternoon Madness and Wednesday Extra are both at 2:30 p.m. Central Daylight.
I don't know what happened there, folks. Something goofed. Anyway, we'll play it next week. We go into a different series, and there will be more interviews with people, famous generals, famous veterinarians, public officials, animal welfare people, people involved, Gladys Sargent, the wife of the brother of John Singer Sanger, the great American painter, and she's also a part owner of the Oakland Raiders, probably the number one, the premier animal welfare advocate in California and in the United States. She started a organization called Pets and Pals. I wrote an article for San Francisco Magazine about her. And so I had a great interview with her and how she dealt with Governor Reagan. Great lady. Of course, the house was a mess with all these dogs and cats running around, but she could afford it. And we'll be running that. And then we'll rerun Peter Fox, who was the survivor of a great, probably the first known survivor of a great white shark attack. He was an interview I did in Australia. One of the many I did over there. I've been there about 500 when I was over there in New Zealand. And then we'll go inside a prison where they allow pets. This is one of my projects that I started back in the 80s to try to persuade the California Department of Corrections to allow birds and fish in the prisons as a means of discipline, that if the prisoners misbehave like they did in New Zealand and other countries where they allow birds and fish, that their animals are taken away. And so it's a great leveler. It also reduces tension and teaches respect for other creatures. and I did a series of surveys of research on that particular project. I couldn't persuade the California Department of Corrections. They've got their own problems, I guess. So that we have that, and then we'll be having, I hope I have my British military interviews that I did with the Special Operations Exec, SOE, which is an organization, a clandestine organization that Churchill set up to deal I think it's his phrase was to set Europe alight during to fight the Nazis with the French underground, the various undergrounds in occupied Europe. And how SOE prevented Greece from turning communist, because the communists came out of the north, just like Philip of Macedonia came down and took over Greece eventually. And so we had the communists coming in after Greece became independent. And for a long time, Greece was under the boot of the Ottoman Empire, and there's a famous TV series, not a series, but a I guess you'd call it a docudrama involving Aristotle Onassis, in which there's one scene there, and I'm surprised it got in there, where a Turkish officer, a young officer, asked him if he'd ever been to bed with a man. Quite interesting. And, of course, the Turks were one of the, they had a group of elite shock troops called the Janissaries, and they were, there's a lot of homosexuality on that. And we'll also have a survey of homosexual military men throughout history. You'd be surprised who some of these people were. And they're very competent military people, but they didn't play crotch politics like they do in San Francisco and out here in the United States. These people were very competent in the field. I don't know what they did in the bedroom, but they're well-known people like Frederick the Great, Charles X of Sweden, of course, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, about whom it was said he was a husband to his wife and a wife to his men. And a lot of the Roman soldiers, when they were posted in these remote areas, they got had boys, you know, who worked for them, and they worked over, let's put it that way. So there's a lot of that, and then we had, there's a question about Stephen Decatur, Navy hero during the war, the Barbary Coast Wars, and War of 1812. He reportedly was gay. But again, these are people who served this country. They didn't politicize their sexual preference. And also, Harvey Milk, people don't, I don't know why the gays don't bring this up, that he joined the Navy when he was 17 and a half, and this is when they were much more strict and severe, and there was much more surveillance about homosexuals in the military, especially the Navy. And he served honorably during the Korean War, and I don't know why the gays don't bring this up, because this whole business about don't ask, don't tell is a phony. It's a wedge issue to bring in the lovers from foreign countries, allow NAMBLA on the military bases, to allow gay lesbian marriage. And already we have requests, demands from veterans who want to be transgendered. So we'll probably resume Monday with a slightly different format, and more subjects, and a lot of interesting issues and public policy issues. We'll be bringing up some surprising things that people should start thinking about, such as should California downsize government to one legislative house? We don't need two. And should we have a national lottery? These are some of the issues that I've worked on. So we'll end now. Happy New Year. Stay sober. Don't drive. This is Peter Paul Brazilla, and we'll end with, where is my favorite? No? Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Betts.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
Well, I hope, folks, we don't put it through the nose in 2011, 12, 13, 14. So happy New Year. Stay sober. Don't drive. And tune in next week. This is Peter Paul Pizzola working with the new shadow. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. Thank you for listening. And this will remain in the archives so you can download and listen on your iPod or at your leisure. Good night.